Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. We hope that you have had a very blessed week this week. When living for God, one thing people get a wrong idea about is that everything will be perfect in your life. Actually, the statement is true if you really think about it and understand that God allows what we call bad times in our life for our perfection. But if you are expecting an experience of nothing going wrong, you are in for a rude awakening. Sometimes the words that we speak, preach, and even testify can bring storms into your life. We have lived that this week after the message on building blocks. For sure, there is power in the words that we speak. We can curse ourselves with negative speech, and we can use speech of faith that can bring us through all of our negative situations. A lot of this process has to do in our thinking. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." What is in our thinking will come out in our speech. As always, we hope that you enjoy this message we have for you tonight. We had to edit some of it out because of the length of it was too long for our show format. But you got the message, the meat of the message. You can always go to the FAC Maryville page and get any of their lessons and messages for free. And now, let's have a listen.
Matthew chapter 9, verse number 20. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 20. And then we're going to go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 28. Matthew 9 and 20. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." Mark chapter 5 and verse 28. Now, Mark, it's the same event, same woman, same need. Mark just says it just a little bit different from his angle. Mark says in 5:28, "For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole." By the help of God today, and the Lord moving mightily upon the conclusion of this message, I want to minister in the Holy Ghost on the power of your words. The power of your words. The power of your words. Father, anoint your servant today. God, your word has power. Father, I pray today that you would anoint my mind, my mouth, that I would be able to articulate to this body of believers. Lord, you said that if I loved you, I would feed your sheep. These are your sheep, O God. Father, I ask you today, Lord, to anoint my lips of clay. I ask you today to open up the ears today. I ask you, God, to open up our hearts today. Because, God, we are the apple of your eye. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. And no weapon that is formed against us will ever prosper. I pray today, God, that you would touch Sister Yates. I ask you today, Father, to heal both of her lungs. You said we have not because we ask not. Lord, I ask you today to do a mighty work on Sister Yates. God, heal both of her lungs. Lord Jesus, touch her in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The power of your words. The power of your words. Now we're going to find out in a few moments that your words that you have are powerful for or against you. Your words are powerful. They can be for you, or your words can be against you. You have to You have to know that the word is for you, or the words you speak can be against you. I read a story the other day about a young man whose father had been diagnosed with an incurable disease. And his father called this young man in and he told him, he said, I have but a few months to live. And he said, you are getting everything that I own. You're getting all my wealth. Some $65 million. You're getting all of my wealth. And so this young man had some trouble finding a wife. He'd had trouble keeping a girlfriend. And so with this newfound news that he had that in a year or so he would have $65 million, he seemed to be very happy to drop that information while in the presence of what he would consider to be a beautiful woman. He would just let her know that, you know, I'm single, and by the way, in a few months I'm going to inherit about $65 million from my father. Well, he told the wrong woman that one night at a party. He let this woman, whom he viewed as beautiful, he let her know that he was going to inherit $65 million, and would she be interested in marriage, of which she said no. But 3 days later, he discovered that he now had her as a stepmother, all right? So you need to be kind of careful with your words, because your words can either bless you or your words can curse you. The Bible tells us about this woman that had this disease for 12 years. And Matthew says in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 21, that for she said within herself. Now notice Matthew 9:21. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment. But Brother Nolan, she said it within herself. Or she was talking to herself. She said it within herself. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Mark later said that she said it out loud. She said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. There's something about the power of words today. We understand that Ephesians 5 and 19, Paul told the church, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, some could interpret that he's talking about the church should sing to one another and the church should speak hymns to one another. But it's not saying that, because the singular term of heart is mentioned here. So he is speaking to a believer. And he says you need to begin speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. He's saying you need to learn how to speak to yourself. You need to learn how to take words, and you need to learn how to talk to yourself in the right way. You need to learn how to speak to yourself in the right way. You need to learn how to use words to lift up yourself. For example, encouragement could be to just say to yourself, I just feel like something good's going to happen today. I just feel like something good is going to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. You just begin to sing, or you begin to talk to yourself about, I just believe that this trial is over. I just believe that the sun is about to shine. I just believe that something good is coming my way. Paul was talking about the power of your words speaking to yourself. It was the Proverbs 16 and 24. It was the wise man that wrote and said, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Just leave that verse up for a moment. Bones represent structure. Bones represent your structure, your skeleton. It gives you structure. It's the bones that enable you to walk. It's the bones in your body. Take all the bones out of your body and we can't move. Take all the bones out of your body and we're just a mass of flesh that has no way of movement. But if you put the skeletal in me, you put that inside of me, the leg bone, the hip bone, you put the skeletons inside of me, and all of a sudden I have structure. I can walk, I can run, I can function. And the psalmist said that pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Now, if there's pleasant words, then there's got to be unpleasant words. And pleasant words are like the honeycomb. That's sweet. And then he said, sweet to the soul. It penetrates very deep down inside of us. Then he said, it is health to the bones. In other words, he's saying, your words determine your structure. Your words determine whether you go from just a mass of flesh that's not able to move until something that's able to walk and talk and run and function. It is talking today about the power of the right words. Can you say amen? The power of the right words. Paul said, speak to yourselves. The psalmist said, it's the structure to your bones. The psalmist would also, in Psalms 18:21, he would also tell us very plainly that death and life, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, $65 million either gets you a wife or it gets you a beautiful stepmother. So death and life is all in the power of the tongue. You can take your tongue and you can use words and it will produce death. Or you can take your tongue and you can produce life. I believe that I'm teaching to some pretty intellectual people here today. I don't believe any of us want to talk ourselves into the grave. I don't believe any of us want to talk ourselves into discouragement. I don't believe any of us want to talk us into any situations that's worse than what we're already in. But give me somebody that knows how to use their tongue. Give me somebody that knows how to use their words. Show me a woman that's 12 years of continual bleeding. She is sick. She is broke. She has suffered many, many things from many physicians. And she is ceremonially unclean. She's an outcast. But somebody came and told her about Jesus. The Bible said when she heard of Jesus. Now, that puts her in an unusual category because that puts that woman, Brother Erickson, in the category that we're in. Because Jesus said to Thomas, he said, you have believed because you have seen, but blessed are they that believe having not seen me. That's the category that you and I are in today. We've never seen the Lord Jesus. But we believe what we've heard about the Lord Jesus. We've never seen him with our eyes. But somebody preached to us out of the Bible. And they told us about Jesus out of the Bible. And we believe the death, burial, and resurrection message. This woman with the issue of blood, she falls in the category with you and I. Because she hadn't seen the Lord. The Bible said when she had heard of Jesus. When she heard somebody told her about a man called Jesus that was performing miracles. A man called Jesus that was multiplying fish and loaves. A man called Jesus that walked to the tomb of his friend Lazarus. And with just a few words, Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days, comes walking out of that tomb. She heard about a man called Jesus who could walk on the water, stick his fingers in the ears of the deaf, and they would begin to hear. Touch the tongue of the dumb, and they would begin to speak. She began to hear about the leper cleansing man of Galilee. And anytime you begin to hear about the word, or you hear about Jesus, you're going to give a response back to it. And the Bible said, when she heard of Jesus, this was her response. She said within herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. Can I tell you, what's going to pick some of us up today is we're going to have to start talking faith into our lives. We're going to have to start talking victory into our lives. Because now listen to me, words create images on the mind. What you hear creates an image in your heart. It creates a picture in your heart. What you hear creates a picture, an image in your heart. That's why as Christians, we're very careful about what we allow ourselves to see and what we allow ourselves to hear. Because what we allow ourselves to see and what we allow ourselves to hear becomes a picture on our heart. Well, what's the problem with that? Because what we have in our heart will be what comes out of our mouth. Bible said from the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth begins to speak. But praise God, somebody begin to tell that woman about Jesus. Somebody begin to tell that woman. Now, you don't have anything that's incurable. I know you've tried many doctors and tried many, many cures, and you've grown no better, but you've actually grown worse, and you're broke, busted, and disgusted. We understand that. But can I tell you, woman, you are not helpless. You are not hopeless today. What do you mean I'm not? What do you mean that I'm not hopeless? I've tried all these doctors. Let me tell you about a leper cleansing man from Galilee. Let me tell you about one that walked into the temple, opened up the book, and began to talk about healing, and began to talk about deliverance, and began to talk about the power. Then he said that it was fulfilled. He has raised the dead. He has cast out every demon. He has shut the mouths of the religious order of the day. He has opened the ears of the deaf. He has loosed the tongue of the dumb. He has called the crippled to walk. He has spoken and leprosies have been erased from them. And when she heard of Jesus, she began to talk to herself. She began to say within herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. She said it out loud. She said it to herself. See, too many times we let negative voices in our life have more say than God's powerful word. We'll let friends discourage us. We'll let negative voices discourage us and not the word of God. See, it's a very powerful thing. Our tongues and our speech, our language is a very powerful thing. It's power of life and death. James, one of my favorite books in the Bible, the book of James, chapter 3 and verse number 1. James says, my brethren, be not many masters. He's talking about being teachers. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or be held to a higher level of judgment. Why? Because we are teachers of words. And the more words, and every preacher in this room today, every teacher in this room today, ought to realize how serious this is. Because you're a word person. And because you're speaking words, James said the bar of judgment's going to be held a little higher. Because you're somebody that teaches word. Verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, he the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Look at that word bridle. He said, James says, if you're able not to use words to be offensive, don't use words to curse. Don't use words to damn someone. Don't use these words this way. Don't use words to offend someone, trip someone up. That's why there's a high standard on the word. Covers things like gossiping. Covers things like slandering someone. It's a very high. I don't know if I've done an adequate job as a pastor of teaching this congregation the high standard of what you say. We are holiness people. We are holiness externally. We are holiness internally. And bless God, I hope we're holiness eternally, all right? But there's a higher bar than judgment than just getting your skirt right or getting your hair right. There's something called our tongue, because it is in the power of the tongue that I can say words that causes my friend, my brother, to shut his Bible and not serve the Lord Jesus. Or I can use those same words to cause my brother to buy a Bible and come give his heart to God. James said, if you can just make sure you don't offend with your word, you're able to bridle your body. You're able to control the way that your body moves. He says, verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body, several hundred pounds of horse, 8 ounces of a steel bit that goes into his mouth. The horse weighs several hundred pounds. But how you control all of that is about an 8-ounce piece of steel called a bit with leather pieces tied to the end. And if you want to move that 800-pound horse this way, you pull the bit this way. If you want the horse to go that way, you pull the bit that way. If you want the horse to stop, you pull the reins back. If you want the horse to run faster, you release the tension of the bit. And the Apostle James said, it's the same thing with our tongues. Our tongues can turn us right. Our tongues can turn us left. Our tongues can stop us. Our tongues can speed us up. He is talking about the power of the tongue today. See, I want to preach faith in this room, because the enemy has told some of you, you're done for. The enemy has told some of you, you just might as well play the record of this, of your life. You're going to be in Misery Valley for the rest of your life. But I've come this morning with a word from the Lord. You don't have to live like that. You don't have, because I've come to somebody that says, if he's ever touched a soul and gave them joy unspeakable and full of glory, he's going to do the same for me, because eight ounces of steel turns that boat, that turns that horse. Verse 4, behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeneth. He said that big ship that's out there in the seas, winds are blowing, sails are up. That ship weighs tons of weight. Waves are beating against it. Winds are blowing against it. Yet James said there's a small thing called the helm. There's a small thing that's a steering apparatus. In comparison to the ship, it's very small. But how that ship gets its direction is the owner, the captain, turns that small helm. Doesn't matter how the wind's blowing. Doesn't matter how deep the waves are. That small helm can turn that ship in the right direction. So is our tongue today. Doesn't matter the winds of hell that howl against our souls. Doesn't matter the winds of all kinds of things that blow against us, the uncertainties, the things we didn't deserve, the foreclosures and the being forsaken. We have the power inside of our mouths that we can stand in the midst of the wind and we can say, it's trying to drive me away from the cross. It's trying to drive me away from my faith in God. It's trying to drive me away from my faith, away from my belief, away from my value system. It's trying to tell me there is no God and live any way that you want to live. But my tongue says, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless the Lord. I will go to the house of God at all times, and His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Can you give him some praise this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A small piece of steel, a small piece of rudder. And James comes down to what he's talking about in James 3 and 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. James is not talking about 8 ounces of steel in a horse's mouth. And he's not talking about 10 pounds of wood fastened to a ship. In comparison, he's talking to that little member comparable to the bit and comparable to the rudder. That little member that you have called the tongue. And James says, it boasts great things. It boasts great things. Your tongue can either boast great things of negativity, or your tongue can boast of great things of faith. Your tongue can either talk continually about how bad you got it, or your tongue can talk continually about how good you have it and how better it's going to be. It's just all what you choose. Your tongue can boast about the climate. Your tongue can boast about the economy. Your tongue can boast about a lot of things that are temporal. But oh, if we could choose to let our tongues boast in the eternal God of heaven. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I will praise the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall, for I shall arise, and the Lord will be light. Instead of talking about He's gone, talk about He's coming back. Instead of talking about loss, I wish somebody help me praise Him right now. I wish somebody take your tongue. Yes. Come on, take your tongue and boast right now. Take your tongue. I dare you. You know, if we praise God 1/5 of the time, the way that we talk about our problem, we'd already be delivered. We'd already be set free. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. My children are going to live for God. My children are going to serve God. Our marriage will be blessed. Our marriage will be restored. God is going to bless me so that I can take a missionary on. I said, God's going to bless me. I'm going to be able to take a missionary on. God's going to bless our marriage. God's going to bless our children. God's going to bless me. I'm going to get my ministry back. I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing before I fell into this trouble, because it's all in the power. Even so, the tongue's a little member and boasts of great things. That's good or bad. Behold how great a matter. Behold how great a matter. A little fire kindled. What's he saying there? He said, you don't understand. All you got to do is use your tongue a little, and it'll produce a whole lot. Just got to say, behold, what a great matter. A little fire kindled. It was on August 24th of the year 2000. A 46-year-old woman tossed a burning match onto the ground when she stopped by the road to light up a cigarette. Rather than putting out the burning match, she just glanced at it. She just glanced at it and left the area. When the fire had been fully contained, $40 million worth of timber had been burned up, and 80,000 acres of ground had been charred. Where did it all start? $40 million of timber, 80,000 acres charred. Where did it all start? The woman lighting a cigarette and throwing a little match down on the ground. Well, if just a little bit of fire could burn up so much, I wonder if we could just learn how to praise Him a little bit every day of our life. I wonder what turnaround we would have if we started saying within ourselves, if I can just but touch the hem of His garment. If I can just but touch. James goes on. He says, the tongue is a fire, verse 6, in a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Please, don't get in the negative here. Man cannot tame your tongue, but God can. Man may be able to tame ferocious tigers to whimper at their feet. Man may be able to tame horses and dogs and all of that, but man can't tame the tongue. That takes God. That's why today our tongue needs to be in the direction of God. Our faith needs to be in the direction of God, because no man could heal that woman with the issue of blood. No man had the cure for that woman. But when she heard of Jesus, she began to say within herself, she began to say, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. I began to read 1 Samuel 17:37. Somebody say, praise the Lord. David said, moreover. There's more here than what we really realize. David said, moreover. Say that with me, those three words again. Here's what he said. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. So what did David use? Imagery. I've already killed a bear and I've already killed a lion, and God will deliver me. David said. Everybody say, David said. David said. We got to get delivered from this religious spirit that wants to tell us everything between us and God's inside of our hearts. It starts in our heart, but it don't stay in our heart. It might have started. That's why Matthew says she said within herself, but Mark come along and said yes, but she said it out loud too. It starts in your heart. Don't get in this business. Can you imagine going to a restaurant today and sitting down, and when the waiter comes, you just look at them like sometimes we do God and say, well, God, you know what's in my heart. God, you know what's in my heart. No, you go there because you're hungry and you have a particular thing on the menu that you want. And when the waitress comes to the table, you say what you want and they bring it out to you. And nothing different than the way it is with God. We just can't think we want to be delivered. We just can't think I want to be saved. We can't think I want things to turn around. We've got to learn how to... You don't call your best friend up and just say, get on the line, we want to think about how bad we got it. No, girl. Let me tell you how bad I got. Girl, you tell you what he did to me. You get on that line and start chattering away. And we need to do the same with God, but it needs to be about faith. I know the Lord's going to see us through this. I know it might be bad, but he said he would never leave me nor ever forsake me. I know I may not feel saved, but I know I am saved. I know it may not look like things seem like I've been praying more and I've been having more trouble, but I know that's not right. I know the more I pray, the more God's going to come in. We got to learn how to say this. I wish somebody saying, David said. Say it again. David said. Of course, he's talking to Saul. Looking at the 13 feet Goliath, 13 foot Goliath. He says, God delivered me from there. God delivered me from the lion. God would deliver me from him. He's a man after God's own heart. He's a worshiper. He's a warrior. He's a songwriter. But can I tell you something? You know the biggest battle you and I have got today? Is time can wear on us. Time can wear on us. One reason we ought to be, listen, we need to turn this around. Doesn't need to be the new people coming in the church are the biggest praisers. Needs to be the older we get, the more we praise him. Silence is not always a mark of maturity. I'm going to say that again. Let's be real. Time and familiarity can wear on us. We can fight things for years if we don't watch it. It'll wear on us. And when it begins to wear on us, we have to counteract life with the only thing that can help us. Praise. Sister Aretha, several years ago, as a matter of fact, we're going all the way back to that the bank that is now beside Cookout. Used to be a restaurant. Used to be a restaurant. And my wife and I were sitting there, and I forget which one of our children it was, Brother Matherly, but we were sitting there waiting to be seated. And I think it's probably Lauren and Fallon were little girls, and they were playing around. They were playing around there, and this elderly woman come by. Brother Perry, she had the biggest scowl on her face. She come by looking at Lauren and Fallon and had a scowl. I pulled him by. I said, "Come on, let's let the kind lady come through. Let's let her come." She had a scowl on her face when she walked by, and that's just kind of life, you know. But it wasn't 5 minutes later, another elderly woman come by. She had the brightest smile on her face, and Lauren and Fallon went back and got in the middle of the floor, and we were trying to, "Oh, we're so sorry, we'll get, oh, don't you bother, let them be kids there, let them be kids there, let them play," and she stopped with them for a little bit, and I wondered, what's the difference between an old sourpuss coming through there, an old scowl, or looking at a bunch of kids in a restaurant, a little yard curtains in a restaurant, all that? You know what's made her sour? Life made her sour. Because she never put any sugar in the lemonade. She just got to sucking on lemons all of her life, and she never learned how to put some sugar of praise. She never learned how to put some sugar of praise. But here comes a woman by, sees the same kids, has a total different reaction. My God, that's what I want to be. As I get older, I don't want to go through life being, oh, everything's bad. Oh, kids are bad. Church is bad. Ain't what it used to be. Preacher don't preach like it used to be. People ain't what they used to be. Oh, hush up. It's better than it used to be. We're having a greater revival than we've ever had. forgive me for saying hush up. Just be quiet. Go through life. I never forget somebody, well, my pastor one time got telling me, I remember, said, church ain't what it used to be. Said, I remember you preaching down in Arkansas. Said, folks were standing looking in the windows. And folks were standing looking in the yard, looking through the window. And Bishop McCool, he's the youngest, oldest guy you'll ever run into. He said, well, brother, that's the truth. He said, we was meeting in a shotgun house having church. He said, absolutely, we was having church in a little house. He said, there couldn't have been more than 30 people there. He said, yeah, absolutely. He said, they were standing looking in the windows because we was in a house. But said, we moved out to a church, and if there's room now, it's because we've moved to a bigger building. Not that we have less of a God today. It's just all how. You see, anybody that's really positive, they don't see the good old days as the good old days. They don't talk about the good old days because they'll tell you, no, this air conditioning, we like this air conditioning. Oh, we like this modern convenience we got. Well, there wasn't a good old days back when you could look through your bedroom and look at the dirt on the floor through the cracks in the floor. They said, that wasn't a good old days. It's a good old days now. We got carpet. It's a good old days. We got air conditioning. It's a good old days now. We can go put our meal in a microwave and that we can eat. You can get caught up in your past if you want to. But it's not the good old days of McGinley. It's not even the good old days of up on the hill. These are the good old days. These are the days I'm talking about. God's gonna do miracles. God's gonna be upon the church in a mighty way. We're gonna see more before Jesus comes than we've ever seen in our lives. Our family members said, "Would you read it with me?" And David, where'd he say it? I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And Brother Nolan, for 16 months, David lived as a backslider. For 16 months, he killed Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. For 16 months, he fought battles for the Philistines. He got up one morning, and I don't know what made him say it. He's a warrior. He's a worshiper. He's a psalmist. He's a man after God's own heart. He's the same man that told Saul, I killed a bear. I killed a lion. I killed Goliath. But now he looks and he says, in his heart, he's going to get me one day. He's going to make me perish one day. You see, it's important what you say in your heart is because what you say in your heart leads to the direction that you're going in. It leads you, what you say in your heart leads to your direction. He said, there's nothing better for me than I would go over to the Philistines. And he did. Imagine that. You don't hear this preached much. But Brother Mayo, he went over to the Philistines' land. And he told the king of the Philistines, I'm here to fight your battles. He said, all right, I'll let you live in Ziklag. And for 16 months, David fought against Israel. Wrong direction. Out of the will of God. But it all started when he said in his, I personally believe he's talking about this in Psalms 52. Excuse me. Psalms 42, verse number 5. I personally believe he's talking about this event. Psalms 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? What's David doing? He's talking to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? That word disquieted there means to moan. Oh. Oh. David begins to talk to himself and he says, why am I down? Why am I making this moaning sound? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of my countenance. He's talking to himself, and it's like he comes to himself, and he says, why in the world am I down? Why in the world am I in the pit? Why in the world am I making these moaning sounds? He said, you know what I need? I need hope. And I need the hope that's in the Lord. That's amazing about hope. Because Romans 8:24 says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know what David said I need? I need some hope. Hope is that everything is going to change someday. Hope is standing in the midst of my dilemma, saying trial. And I love this right here. One of the best passages of Scripture says, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. Your trial hasn't come to stay, only unless you make it feel comfortable with your tongue. And it came to pass. To the troubled teenager that lives in a less than perfect environment, you stand in your prayer time and you hope thou in God. It's not always going to be this way. It's not always going to be cast down. It's not always going to be this way. Hope thou. Hope causes me to talk to my despair, to talk to my discouragement. Hope causes me to look at the worst thing that's happening in my life and say, you'll not always be around here. You'll not always be have such a grip on my life. I'm telling you, I may cry myself to sleep. I may wake up several times in the night and wonder how in the name of God did I get here. But when I wake up, when despair wakes me up, I'm going to counteract despair with praise. I'm going to begin to say I'm hurting right now, but there's coming a day that I won't hurt. I'm in this right now.
my feet, I'm marching out in victory. Hallelujah. Clean Jesus, because Jesus crushed the enemy
with authority.
Now he's underneath my feet.
That's right.
I'm marching out in victory.
Hallelujah.
From the Maryville Church in Maryville, Tennessee. Blog Talk Mom.
That was wonderful. Thank you, Sister Starla and Wild Bill. That was so good. Oh, all of it. I love it. It was just exactly what I needed to hear. Oh, so good. I was looking for a prompt.
Oh, I'm boy. Sorry. Go ahead.
Ready?
No.
No, I want to hear him.
No, he's here. We can hear you first.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was reading a book. I love books. I love them. And this is just a collection of the promises of God. And so today, this particular one that I was looking at was found in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. All of it goes along with exactly with what he was saying. But, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:6. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It's just like God just, I don't know, loving on me somewhere or other with these scriptures and this message tonight. So I want to hear Wild Bill.
Wild Bill?
Well, I was enjoying those scriptures that Blog Talk Mom had there. You know, we live in a time to where we do seem to be just totally dissatisfied. It's like we're saying, God, we just ain't happy the way things are now. We want it the way it used to be. And I don't think we really think about what we're saying sometimes. I like what you said about, you know, you can see dirt through the floors and, you know, people had to slave over, you know, a hot oven all day. You didn't have a microwave. You could just zap something in and thaw it out and put it on the stove or actually cook it on the microwave. You know, it's just the things it's how we look at it in our minds. And I think part of this is that we've gotten so smart and so educated that we want to just rationalize God out of it. Well, I know God can heal, but, you know, I know sometimes he doesn't heal. I know God can save, but. I know God can redeem, but. I know God can make a way when it seems like there's no way. But we get to put in that. But I heard this guy say, church brother, you put these big old butts in here. And I thought, don't think that's how, quite exactly how he meant to say that. but we do that. We put this obstacle there in our own mind, because if you take God at his word, exactly as it's written, when he talks about prophecy, you know, sometimes we get to thinking that that's got to be where, you know, all of a sudden God's got to speak to us, you know, thus saith God, and he just pours these words out of us. And I believe that happens. But I think sometimes God, like he did with Elijah with the dry bones, can these bones live? Lonely, you know, Lord. He said, prophesy to him. He didn't tell him what to prophesy. He left it up to him to come up with the vision of what he thought God wanted him to say to that. And I think sometimes we need to prophesy. You know, my sister that's not saved, I see her as being saved. The words that was given to my mom, you know, about me and my sister, those are going to come about. Maybe not in our time and maybe not in the way we want it to be, but God's going to make a way where there seems like there's no way. But we get to putting self in the way and our self-judgment on it, and we talk about, oh, we talk about miracles, signs, and wonders, and everybody wants to go to healing. Well, what's wrong with going to healing? What does all the scriptures say? By his stripes we were healed. You know, any two or three come to my, you know, gather in my name asking anything, it shall be done. Not can be done or would be done. We have talked ourselves out of having faith to believe the Bible and what God says it is that he's going to do. And I'm telling you, this has been a week for me. It almost feels like it couldn't get much worse. I feel like I could sit down on a napkin and hang my feet off of it. And I understand that that was had to do with the message that I had the audacity to preach at church. And then I played it on the Blog Talk show. And then Blog Talk Mom shared it with her church and several people. And when you have something like that, you have to understand that sometimes you, it's just like a testimony. You're made overcomers because you're going to live it when you say it. And it's just hard sometimes when you're living for God to just let loose and let God be God and us to be who we're supposed to be, to sit back and let God take control of situations. And there are some parts of this you have to do in response to certain things. I mean, but it, you have to try to figure out what is the balance. Lord, I want your will. Lord, you said, you know, that you'll fight my battles for me. Lord, you said, vengeance is yours, you will repay. And then, you know, the scriptures we had, you know, with the building blocks, you know, to turn away wrath or turn away people that do things to you with good things back to them, you know, not to come back and, you know, try to return fire for fire. And it's just one of those things that it's not our natural thing of flesh to want to do. Flesh don't want to die out to God. Death, the flesh does not want to be second place even to God. And if we can't admit that to ourselves, it's like an alcoholic. If they can't admit they got a problem, then they can't come up with a solution. And if we can't admit in this day and time that we have gotten so smart that all I got to do is just ask my phone a question, it'll pop up with an answer and give me all kinds of websites and stuff to go to look up answers for these things. And we get to thinking we know so much. And that's why we have this thing today where people, some of them are saying, hey, let's just wear a mask. You know, it's just the precaution. Just go ahead and do it. And other people say, well, that's violating my civil rights to tell me I have to wear a mask. And then you got other people sitting there saying, you know, 90,000 people have been killed from this virus. They start posting their pictures of the ones that are there. And you hear other people say, well, they might have died of a ptomaine poison or something like that. And they just called it, you know, COVID virus. And we got all these things, people pulling so many different ways. And it's a distraction that if we could just figure out how to put, you know, in sports we had this thing where you'd put on your game face, where you get focused, where you'd sit down before the game, you think, okay, now this is a position that I play on this ball field. And my job is to either get in, you know, if I was on defense, my job was to get past these guys that's trying to block me and get in there and get the guy with the ball and tackle him, preferably as further back as you could before they get forward and make, you know, progress or forward yards. Then you had a focus that, okay, what am I going to do? You visualized the person that was standing across from you. You visualized what they were going to do to try to keep you out. And then you had a vision in your mind of what you were going to do to overcome that. And if we could just get a vision in our mind to understand, we don't have to have the answers, but we got to have a vision. If you don't have a vision of what it is that God can do in your life and what he wants to do in your life and what you want him to do in your life, then how in the world are you going to pray and ask him for it? And how in the world are you going to praise him for doing it and acknowledgement? I prayed, and now I'm going to praise because the answer is on the way. But no, we got this thing now where we're going to pray. Or let me take that back. We're going to ask the church to pray. You know, pray for this situation right here. Unspoken. I'm so bad off right now. I can't even say what it is. It's just unspoken. And then it's really not on your altar every day, much less several times a day. If I'm in a restaurant, and I've done this before, I was in a truck stop one time, and we didn't have a lot of time to stop and eat when I was running with my partner Jack, running across country. And we were in a truck stop, and we couldn't get waited on. And I noticed they had a phone number up here at the front. If you're not happy with our service or something like that, to call. So I call this number, and I get a manager. He answers the phone. He goes, "Hello, can I help you?" And I said, "Yes, sir. I'm over here in your restaurant, and I've been here for about 30 minutes, and I've not been waited on yet." He's like, "Where are you at?" And I was like, "I'm sitting in one of your tables in your restaurant. You got this number posted up here. If I got a problem, I got a problem. I hadn't even got no drinks yet. They hadn't even come took an order. I've been here too long already. This is a truck stop." And I see him walking out of an office back holding a phone to his head looking around. So I'm waving at him. "I'm over here. See me? Right here. This is the guy that wants to place an order to get something to eat. Right here." And if we ever just get that same attitude with God, you know, Satan's throwing things at you. You got all kinds of obstacles. You're like that song that says, "Satan, get out of my way." Woo! I gotta pray, and I gotta get a hold of the throne room of God, and then I'm gonna praise because my answer's promised. And God's promises are yea and amen, which means yes and so be it. When God says yes and so be it, you could almost start cashing the check and put the money in the bank. But we have this thing to where we don't have faith to really believe anymore. So it's really hard to praise if you don't really believe. If you don't have a vision, that's why he says if you don't have a vision, this people are going to perish. If we don't have a vision of God moving in our life, or the enemy being defeated, or whatever it is, maybe you got an addiction in your life, and you think, "I can't get this defeated," and you can't get a vision of God doing that defeat for you. I will never forget when Dad got baptized, we came out of that river or creek, and I remember that Randy McCoy was there. He took his cigarettes and his lighter, and he threw them into the woods. And Randy said, "I knew it was real because I saw him throw the lighter away. I knew that there was something to that because he threw the lighter away." See, if we just want to hang on to the lighter just in case, I get a little nicotine fit, I can run up to the store and want to give me some more. See, God wants us to just give it all away. And when we give it all to him, just like I saw with my dad, God moves in and he does his part. He's faithful. He's always been faithful. He cannot deny himself as to what he's promised us through the Bible, through the word of God. But he's looking for a people, not just a people, but a people that's willing to be called by his name, that's willing to humble themselves. Boy, that's hard. That is so hard. Humble myself. But really, that's just reasonable service, to give him praise, to come to church, to be faithful to go there. If I could just humble myself and I can seek his face, man, scriptures are in the Bible to read. And he's like, "Man, I don't want that to be a building, but I don't want to have to humble myself. I don't want to have to die daily. I don't want to have to sacrifice." And you can keep on doing that, and you're going to keep having those buts that come in as to why these things aren't happening in your life. Because you're going to have a vision that's going to be blurry. There's going to be like a puzzle. There's going to be pieces missing to where you can't get the vision of what God wants to do in your life. And I'm telling you, if this is the day, we're through walking around with the foot soldiers anymore. This is the day of the chariots and the horsemen. We got to step up our game or we're going to get left behind. We're going to get trampled. We got to go from this being lukewarm or trying to live in the gray area, because there is no gray in living for God. You either see the black or white. It's either right or wrong. There is no in the middle gray. We've expanded a gray area so far out in church to try to want to cover things in ourselves. Yeah, it's hard for me to get up there and preach about healing when I sit up there and I can't even stand up straight in church and I'm dealing with pain in my neck and back. But I'm still going to keep on preaching that God heals. I'm not going to let that deter me from sitting there and saying the word of God and sharing it with other people, because I have an accountability for that. And someday I believe that God is going to heal me. But I need to get from that to crying out saying, "Lord, right here, I'm at this table right here. Yeah, service for one, please. I need your attention." He wants us to speak the things that we want and to do it in great detail as to what it is that we need. And it's his good pleasure when we do that. But he's like, "Well, man, if I get up and I say something like that, then I don't get healed. Oh, man, I'm going to look bad." Because that's what we're really saying. Now, I heard people say, "Well, you know, God's sovereign, and he don't always do things in certain times." And I understand all that. But really what we're saying is I don't want to look bad. I don't want to say something and then it not happen. What faith is there in that, if that's where your mindset really is? We have to get all these things that are blocking us, the things that come between us and God and Him moving in our life, out of the way, because that's what they understood to do back in the old days when you saw them praying for someone that had a cancer on someone's face and the big old gore sticking out there and it'd fall off in the floor. Or you saw people that had tumors and they'd pray for them and they'd pass that tumor. Or when you saw people that was on their deathbed and God raised them up and gave them another season so they could come back and correct things in their life and become born again. You say, oh, so things that used to happen a lot. Well, the same God, the one that says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, is still waiting for us to get in position so He can do those things. He is the God of yesterday. So if things were not good today like they were yesterday, what's changed? The people, not God. The Word of God hadn't changed, so it has to be the people. And Lord, help us if we've gotten anywhere in our preaching to where we don't want to stand up there on the edge and step out in faith on nothing at all. Say, thus saith the Lord, He's going to do something. Get a vision of it and see it. I could just imagine Elisha just sitting there and you know, God says, prophesy. He didn't tell him what to prophesy. He didn't lead it on his heart. He planted a seed by saying, can those bones live? He said, only you know, Lord. He said, prophesy. God's wanting us to start putting prophetic things of God in our lives and into our families and into our churches. So, anyway, I'm just about out of wind on what I had there, Blog Talk Mom. Did you have anything to add to that?
Oh, yeah. I love every bit of it. To me, it's just like a tapestry tonight that all of it just paints a beautiful picture of the power that God has given and trusted us with if we will use it as far as speaking. And that scripture that Brother Carpenter used, Ephesians 5:19, if we speak to ourselves, you know, the not just what we say out loud, but the meditation that we have in our heart about the Word of God and making melody to God in our heart. And today, I'll give a quick testimony. I had had a situation. It wasn't COVID. It was a heart condition. I woke up and was having quite a bit of stress about the problem. And, you know, I knew I could either die or go to the doctor, and I didn't want to go to the doctor, so I thought, well, maybe I'll just die. I don't know. It didn't seem morbid or anything, but it sounds silly. But anyway, I've got this one thing I love to do with the Lord is to go to the piano and start playing and singing to Him. Well, I didn't have the wind because of the pressure on my chest, and I didn't, you know, so I just started playing it. And there's a young man in our church wants to learn a song, so I'd had it typed off, and it was the words of it, and most people would probably know it. It's the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me. And when I got, by the time I got to that part of it, I was being 2 or 3 million angels was having choir practice because, oh, it was awesome. And it was just wonderful. And I kept going through it and singing it then. And so when I quit, well, I was, you know, I was pretty tired and I don't know how to explain the feeling, very weak. And so I just thought, well, I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to rest. I feel better. And I prayed in the spirit, and it was really good. But the phone rang, and the lady that occasionally, it's a food bank, and she said, Miss Bobby, if you can get here right away, we can give you a lot of food, because I like to get food for the people in the trailer park and different ones that come to the house. And I thought, okay. I said, all right. And I hung up, and I called someone that I had talked to earlier at the church, and the phone wouldn't go through. When I did get through, they couldn't do it. And I think about 15 minutes, I was quickly dressed, and over in the other town, they filled up my trunk with all of this food. I get back to the church, and one of the most wonderful ladies in the church met me there, took all the food, and dispersed it to the families that it needed to go to. And then I had some of it here and looked out about 8 o'clock. They were banging on my door, and I was able to give them bananas and, you know, some food for the kids. And I just think all of that, to me, made so much wonder tonight, because it's praising him can break the yoke of the enemy. It just unplugs his whatever, you know, and we're in the realm of the Spirit of God. And, you know, God's going to get our praise. And it's just awesome. And I love it. I just love it. This was just so beautiful tonight. And us and everyone that's listening, praise God. Praise him. You know, everything that has breath, let them praise the Lord. And just it just works. And it's so delightful. And all the scriptures and all that he used tonight about David. And when we study about David, we find there were many, many times in his life where he was running for his life. There was all kinds of confusion and everything. But he found that praise was the key. And he did it. And he was what a man after God's own heart. God wants us to praise him and delight in when we praise him. And it empowers us with a vision that we cannot fail. God's already won the battle. All we got to do is praise God for the victory. And so I love you, Wild Bill and Sister Starla. I so enjoy anything that Brother Carpenter does. He's just an excellent, their church, their music. And look forward to next week.
Well, you're always a real treat, Blog Talk Mom. I had something here I want to read part of real quick. Never again will I confess. Never again will I confess or focus on I can't, because the word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:35. Never again will I confess or focus on fear, because the word said God has not given me a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Never again will I confess or focus on doubt and lack of faith, because the word says God has dealt to each one, every person, a measure of faith. Never again will I confess or focus on weakness, because the word says the Lord is the strength of my life. That's Psalms 27:1. And the people that know that God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That's in Daniel. Never again will I confess or focus on the supremacy of Satan over my life, because the word says, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Never again will I confess or focus on defeat, because the word says, God always causes me to triumph in Jesus Christ. Never again will I confess or focus on a lack of wisdom, because the word says Christ Jesus has become for me wisdom from God. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given unto him. Never again will I confess or focus on sickness, because the word says, with his stripes I am healed, and Jesus himself took on my infirmities and bore my sickness. Never again will I confess or focus on bondage, because the word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And last one I got here, never again will I confess or focus on worries and frustration, because the word says, I am casting all my cares upon him who cares for me. Woo, we got just so many words that we can just lock into that just tears down everything that Satan wants to throw into our path. I know that probably gave you another thought there, Blog Talk Mom.
Oh, yeah. Well, you put that on Facebook so we can all read it or print it off or something. Yeah, it did, because a while ago when you were talking about, you know, just call on the Lord. And remember years ago we'd say, well, just call him up. Call him up and tell him what you want. I can hear Sister Mary leading us in that. We'd call him up, or it would. Oh, it was so such a move of God when call him up. And there's scriptures that go along with that. And oh, I love this program, and I love everything you said. I love that list, and I look forward to having it for my very own. So you'll either have
now, there's some more to it, but I didn't have my glasses down here. It makes it a whole lot better when I can actually read the scriptures, and those are. They do that in an italics print. And like I said, I didn't bring my glasses down here. Hey, we got a little bit of time. There's a couple more again. Never again will I confess or focus on condemnation, because the word says there is now no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus. That's in Romans. It says, I am in Christ, so therefore I am free from condemnation. Never again will I confess or focus on loneliness, because the word says, Jesus said, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Man, what a faithful God. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never again will I confess or focus on curses or bad luck, because the word says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's me, and through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Never again will I confess or focus on discontent, because the word says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Never again will I confess or focus on precaution, because the word says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Never again will I confess, focus on the domination of sin over my life, because the word says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Never again will I confess or focus on insecurity, because the word says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will not be. You will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep you from being caught. These must be scriptures from, I don't think it's King James, I'm not sure. Never again will I confess or focus on failure, because the word says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Never again will I confess or focus on frustration, because the word says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Never again will I confess or focus on fear of the future, because the word says, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for us. It's just, man, it just, I don't know about you guys, but just it's sitting there, you could just take those and recite them every day. It's just something else. I think there was one more here.
It's powerful.
Never again will I confess or focus on troubles, because the word said, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So that was all of them. But man, if you get to just putting those things in your heart and in your mind, and just, then you can develop a vision of the things that God wants to do in our lives. So did you have anything else there, Starlet? I don't want to put you on the spot, but didn't want to leave you out either.
No, it was all good. I've enjoyed all of it.
I'm sorry, I was having trouble reading. It's kind of hard to cry and read at the same time when you don't have glasses on. So,
I know that feeling.
I tell you what, people say, you sure do get emotional when you get to talking about God. I'm like, honey, if you knew where I come from, where God brought me from, you'd get a little excited, a little bit emotional too. So I'm so thankful. Well, I guess that's all we have for the show tonight. And unless somebody else wants to push one on their phone, have a comment they'd like to share, or would like to tell us what they think or disagree or agree or whatever, you can just push 1. It'll show up on our little screen right there, and we'll put you on the air. Going once, going twice. Okay, I guess not. So, anyway, I guess that's the close of our show for tonight. We'll be back here next week. Hope you got a blessing out of this. Be sure and tell people they can go to the archives and listen to all these shows. And we hope it's a blessing for everybody. So, God bless you and have a good night.